Hello again. I don't want to necessarily share what's on my heart during share time because I might just start preaching then and then no one else would get a chance. All right. So last Saturday, of course, my dad had that little scare with his heart, and it didn't turn out to be his heart, but they went and got it checked out. So I appreciate all your prayers in that. But it also just sort of got me to thinking and reevaluating, like, okay, how do I spend my time? What am I doing every day? What do you guys do every day? Now, I'm not talking, I'm talking the things you don't have to do, but you choose to do, like, not like eating or sleeping. Like, of course, we all do that. We all do that. Everyone does those, and they're kind of needed. But what are we choosing to spend our time on? Now, some of those things we choose are more necessary than others, right? For instance, like working. Yeah, something commanded by God, and we all need to be doing that, doing what God has for us. Some things we choose to do can be good in moderation, maybe, to do sometimes, but then if we start doing those things too often, maybe they're becoming an idol. What are we doing every single day? Those are our priorities. So this morning we're going to talk about priorities. What does God have for us to do? Now, it doesn't have to be every day necessarily, right? Maybe they are weekly or something we do every month, but those things that we hold most important are our priorities. What do I hold as most important in my life? Now I can see us all raising our hand, right? What do I hold most important? Well, yeah, God. Of course it's God. I hold Him most important, the Sunday school answer, so to speak. And I pray that that's the case. And I know that is what we strive for, right, is to have Him preeminent in our life. Of course we hold Him most important. That's what we'll say. But even as I evaluate my own life, and maybe as you evaluate yours, I can see when that is not always the case. And those are the times when it leaves me hurting and discouraged in need of grace and forgiveness. And maybe you've seen that in your own life at times when our priorities get off from what God has for us. Our priorities must be in step with the mind of Christ. Our priorities must be in step with the mind of Christ. We all already have those things that are set, those priorities in our life. Maybe they have become a habit, either good or bad. Some of those things we hold most important really have just become an idol, right? They're no longer priorities. They've edged into that territory of becoming more important than God to us. Maybe if you're younger, some of the youth here, some of my friends here, maybe your priorities are just your parents' priorities, right? As they seek to train you up in what God, in how you should go. And as you get older, right, as you get older, you will have to set your own values, what you hold most, right? But those priorities that you set for yourself eventually, they will have to be in step with the mind of Christ. And as you get older, I'm experiencing, as some of you have us, oh, I'm not supposed to call people old, right, Char? Yep. But as we get older, we gain more responsibilities, and our time gets busier and busier, and we have more and more to do, and eventually, maybe we can't even keep up. Maybe we need to rethink our priorities, what we hold most dear, what we spend our time with. So let's reevaluate our routine today. And I pray that we find that our priorities are in step with the mind of Christ. That's our goal, always, to be doing what God wants us to be doing in our life. So let's prioritize the eternal. Prioritize the eternal. Now, what is something that is eternal, or rather someone, right? Well, people are eternal. People are eternal. I've heard it said before, there's two things in the world that are eternal. God's Word, which we best be spending time in God's Word, seeking what He wants from us there. But people are also eternal. It doesn't matter what road a person is on, their soul is eternal. And if your faith is in Christ, He has promised us eternal life, and that is sweet. John 5:24, I think it has it on the screen for us. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. So that is sweet, comforting to our ears. We have no need to fear death. We can even be excited for when God calls us home, right? And we remember that this week and we remember that Friday, right? We can be excited when God calls us home to be with him. It is not enough to just know who Jesus is, right? It says in this verse, whoever hears my word, right, and believes. It's not enough to just know who Jesus is, like, oh yeah, that Jesus guy, he's pretty cool what he did and all, but I'm going to live my own way now. Or, oh, that gift is free, that's great, I'll take that fire insurance and then I'll go whatever way I want to go. But how is it received? How is that free gift received? Through hearing and believing, right? And belief makes all the difference. Belief that I can't do it on my own, and Christ has done it all. At that moment that we accept Jesus' gift, we believe in what he's done for us and that we can't do it on our own, at that moment we have that eternal life. And at that moment, when we breathe our last, we will be with our gracious, loving Savior. People are eternal. We are eternal. We know that. 2 Corinthians 5:8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be home with the Lord. But it's not just believers that are eternal. It's not just believers who are going to be around for eternity. Unbelievers' souls will also be around for eternity, although in a different state, and that's sobering to think about. It's tragic to think about, and it causes us to be a little uncomfy, right? Oh, like that they're going to be in torment forever? How can that be? But this fact should cause us to make sure that we are prioritizing people, unbelievers. Yes, absolutely, prioritize believers around us, people who know the Lord, but also unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted and as well to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Often, we don't even want to think about how awful that sounds, right? To be apart from the presence of God. But these verses kind of make us get our mind set on being a light to unbelievers. That they help set our priorities like Christ would set his priorities. When Jesus comes again, it's not going to be as Savior, it's going to be as Judge. Those who don't know him are going to suffer eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. Now, presently, right now, even unbelievers are experiencing some good gifts from God. He's gracious in that way. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above. Their life, their breath, the good things they experience in life, they're from God. But if they die without Christ, or if you are here today and you are not trusting in Jesus' finished work on the cross, you will be forever tormented away from the presence of the giver of everything good and right. A verse that summarizes the eternality of all people well, Matthew 25:46, talking of unbelievers first, it says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So it gives us both there. So people are eternal. How should we be spending our time? Well, a good investment of our time that's going to be good for eternity, right? Or maybe you're investing your money for retirement now or for whatever. That'll be good for, yes, when you're later in life to be able to provide for yourself. But how do we invest in eternity? Well, we can be investing in people, believers and unbelievers and alike. What does this mean for us? How do I prioritize those people? Yes, they're going to be around forever. We've seen that. People are eternal. And if we simplify it into terms that matter for eternity, right, there are only two groups of people, no on the fence. The first group, the saints. How do I prioritize the saints? How can I invest in the lives of believers around me? In what ways can I teach younger believers about the Lord, right? We don't have to be some super saint. If we're older in the faith than someone else, we should be asking ourselves the question, how can I influence them for Christ? Each of us has a responsibility to teach and to model the mind of Christ to those younger in the faith than us. In Matthew, it doesn't share, go therefore pastors and be a light to all the world, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not how the verse goes, right? It says, go therefore into the ends of the earth. There's no caveat on who's supposed to go. It's all believers are to go to be a light. Each of us has a responsibility to teach and model the mind of Christ to those younger in the faith than us. That's what we see in Titus chapter 2. The older men are teaching the younger men, and likewise the older women are teaching the younger women. And us that are younger, we are off the hook. We aren't off the hook because we are to follow the example of service that those older in the faith have shown to us. So as we are taught, as we are trained up, then we are becoming the teachers. We are training up the next generation after us. From generation to generation to generation, in our church, we must teach and train up. We must remain faithful each generation, because as soon as one generation falls, as soon as one generation starts slacking, that's when it all goes downhill. Each of us must remain faithful to teach and to train up. We must remain dedicated, committed to the saints around us. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Up on the screen, you'll see, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I've heard it often said, like, oh man, like, and I say at times, and as we should, it's often said that, man, church is just being at church with the body of Christ. It is just the encouragement that I need for the week. It's my time to recharge. I need this time to reset. And often, oh man, we do. And granted, what an encouraging time it is to meet with other dedicated believers. It truly is a recharging station where we can enjoy fellowship with others. It can be that time to reset your heart and get back right with God. And that's awesome. I enjoy that about the church body. But church isn't just a place for our benefit. Though it does benefit us tremendously, right? It is also our place to encourage others. It is our place to remind and celebrate with others the goodness and faithfulness of Christ. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. A question we need to be asking is, how can I stir things up in here? And now that doesn't quite sound right, does it? How can I stir things up in here? But this verse is encouraging us to stir things up. Absolutely not in the sense of causing division. That's not what this verse is talking about at all. But in the sense of encouraging one another to love more like Christ and to do more that Christ would do, how can I serve in my church? Should I be studying and teaching? Should I reach out to someone who hasn't been here in a while? Should I get to know someone better that I'd like, that I maybe don't know quite as well as I'd like to? How can we each be serving other believers? And we can't let our service of everyone here, we can't let it stop at those double doors out there. We need to continue to serve, to be available. We need to be at church not solely because we personally need encouragement, as we do need encouragement, but that's not our sole purpose for being here, but also because others may need us to encourage them in the Lord. The latter part of that verse shares with us, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Set the priority of spending time with your church family. Set those habits for you and your family. Maybe your child needs to be encouraged by someone that's here. Be here as often as you can, even in your busyness. I know how busy it gets. And I'm sure many of you have been far busier than me. But don't miss out on the body of Christ building each other up. Our priorities must be in step with the mind of Christ, eternal priorities. Prioritize people, the saints. And the second group of people we must prioritize is the ain'ts. Those who do not know the Lord, or those that claim to know Him, but their hearts are far from Him. We must prioritize the ain'ts as well. Matthew 15:8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And it pains me to see those who claim to know the Lord, claim to love him, but their hearts are far from him. Like so many at school who want the Lord for fire insurance, right? But other than that, in how they act and how they talk, they're having nothing to do with him. They pay the Lord no mind. And now if they could only see how God has something better for them. God has a way that's better than following their own passions, their own desires. The world wants nothing to do with him. We should want everything to do with him. In doing so, it may often feel like an island, right? Sometimes it may feel like we're the only one standing in a sea of unbelief. And then we come and we're with the church family and we're refreshed, we're rejuvenated together. We're reminded we're not alone, right? And the Lord is with us always. With the Lord's help, we must continue to stand to be a light in the darkness of the world with his power. If we are not standing with his help, we are going to act just like the world. If we're not standing with his help, we're going to act just like the world. Our values and views are going to be poisoned and warped into something that God never intended for us. The world might not be saying, and I thought this often, the world doesn't necessarily say, right? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons and do works in your name? I haven't heard that before. I don't think you guys have either. But as I think through these verses, paraphrases often come to mind. And the world may say, Lord, did I not go to church as a child? I've shared this with my youth group. It's not about, hey, did I go to youth group? The world may say, did I not go to youth group? It's not about what we do. They may say, Lord, did I not pray before and after ball games for you? Did I not give to the church? Did I not go to Mass? Did I not go to confessional? Lord, I did all these things. I did them. Maybe like, oh, I got a verse tattooed on my arm, right? Or I have a fish sticker on my car and a cross hanging on my wall. I did enough to make it. I did enough on my own. I did all the things. How can I not be right before you? That's the way of the world, their attitude. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Oh, snap. Christ is enough for us. Christ can be enough for them. It is not about what we do. It's about what he did. It's not about all these things. It's about his goodness shown towards us, his grace shown to us. When we fathom the depth of his grace, all that he's done for us, we accept it through faith. It should pierce our heart. How can we not live for him? How can we do something other than live for him? It doesn't make any sense for us as believers when he's given it all for us. Spend time with people. People are eternal. And we need to keep learning how to be intentional. It is not enough just to be with people, right? If they never hear truth from us or never hear about Christ from us, that's not enough. I don't know about you, but I can spend a lot of time shooting the breeze, just talking about work, talking about sports, talking about whatever, and never go deeper than surface level with someone. I can talk about maybe basketball a lot, how to play well, what to do in nearly any situation, right? Or how to shoot, or how to play well, how to finish around the rim. But we have a message that is much more important than how to shoot a basketball, right? We have the message of the cross. Not the crossover, not basketball terms. the cross of Christ. We must take the opportunities that God places in front of us to stand for truth, to live in a way that God can get behind. When I'm at the court, I need to remember that. When I'm at school, I need to remember that. What situations do you find yourself in? It might not be at the basketball court. Where are you having conversations with people? And how can you bring the truth of God's word into it? Where do people see you? And how can your attitude reflect Christ in those conversations? That true value, maybe. At the ball game, at the grocery store, at co-op, the hospital, work. Does your attitude and how you talk reflect Christ? Are you reflecting Christ? Are you joyful? Do you have peace in your life? We should be the most joyful people. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's part of what sets us apart from the world. It's because we have a great hope in Christ. We don't have to be worried about the future, what's going to happen. We should be prioritizing people. Jesus spent time with people too, right? Our prime example. Jesus spent time with the lost. Matthew 9:11-13. The Pharisees weren't too happy with this. And when the Pharisees saw this, that he was hanging out with the Pharisees, the tax collectors, those that weren't part of the religious crew. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call the righteous but sinners. Yes, we should be spending time with those that are unbelievers, but we shouldn't be getting sucked into their ways, sucked into what they do. We should be spending time with them and standing for truth, what is right, using those opportunities to talk with them about what Christ wants, the greater good that Christ has for them. Our priorities must be in step with the mind of Christ. Christ, his whole ministry was centered around people. It's why he came, for people, to seek and save the lost, to call the sinners. Us, he's called us, the sinners, and he's calling others. He came to call us out of the world, and our priorities should look different from the world, completely different. What they value and what we value is often on opposite sides of the spectrum. To the world, it's foolish to spend every Sunday at church, right? When you're busy all week. To the world, it's foolish to be joyful always and to have peace at all times. What priorities are you living by? How are you using your time for eternal purposes? And you know, if our priorities are not in step with the mind of Christ, they aren't really priorities. They're just idols. Something that we're putting above the plan that He has for us. If our priorities are not in step with the mind of Christ, they aren't priorities, they're idols. Continue searching scriptures, as I know I have these past few weeks, especially thinking of my dad. What am I spending my time doing? See how God wants you to spend your time. Is there something that you need to cut out because it has become an idol? Or a habit that is a priority that does not please God? I want to encourage you all this morning to have priorities. Have priorities that Christ could approve of. Have priorities that Christ is happy that you are doing those things. Christ rejoices that you are doing those things. Let's have priorities that Christ can approve of. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, as we just think through how we spend our time, what we hold most dear, most important in our lives, I pray that we would be searching your scriptures, seeing your attitude and how you spent your life, and trying our best with your help to emulate that, to see what you saw was important. Lord, we see that you went out of your way so many times. Even though you were busy, you'd maybe see someone on the side of the road, you'd go talk to them, you'd heal them. You would spend the time with them. Lord, help us to prioritize people, even when we don't feel like, even when we just want to stick to ourselves. Lord, help us to prioritize the eternal. Prioritize the eternal. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your mind as we go into this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.